This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh yeah, we're rolling on a Friday. What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, a show where the producer is looking for revenge this weekend with his picks, and the host is already 1-0 on Competition Wednesday. Broncos, big win last night on Thursday Night Football. Oh, Anthony, I'm sorry. Did I just ruin your vibe? You were bouncing up and down. You were having a great start of the show. You shouldn't be mad at my success.
Craig, first of all, good job on your pick of the Broncos.
You picked the Broncos correctly last night in terms of our game picks. Yeah. I just happened to have them in Competition Wednesday.
Yeah. You doubled up, though.
So. I did. By the way, 5:30, we go around the NFL. We pick all the games. We didn't reveal our records this week because Anthony is the keeper of the records, and he wasn't here on Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, buddies and pals of all ages, wait till you hear how well we did last week.
That might have been the best week we've ever had.
It certainly is collectively the best week we've ever had.
Yeah, no question.
Nevertheless, either one of our career bests. Just how good are we at picking games? Find out at 5:30 and see what we pick this week. And then zig as hard as you can away, or zag as far as you can away from us, because there's no chance we're that good again. As for the show today, we start, as we always do, on a Finish Friday by discussing what's at stake for the Commanders this weekend as they take on the Carolina Panthers. And, I mean, in some ways, not a lot. In some ways, everything, as the nature of kind of how this goes. I mean, I think when you look at the Carolina game, Anthony, this is an unbelievably winnable game. That is a nice way to say the Panthers are not very good. They are definitively a bad football team. And then it's not necessarily anyone's fault that's currently there. The reality is that they are a team that has a head coach in his first year, GM in his second year, I guess. So, and I guess in some part it's obviously his fault. But at the end of the day, the biggest fault is they had the number one overall pick and they botched it. Either Bryce Young just wasn't, it was a total miss that they missed on, or he would have been bad, or it's, they didn't do, he would have been good if they had gotten better pieces to support him, and he was broken by the time they got some of those pieces in, including an offensive line that's pretty good. But they also just don't have a lot of talent elsewhere. Like, they did a bad job previously. You know, I'm not trying to pick on Ron Rivera. It's just the chronology. Like, the end of the Rivera era there in Carolina was bad. He left the roster really depleted from a talent standpoint. And then they made a bunch of really bad decisions after he left. You know, when he left, the cupboard was pretty bare, but it shouldn't take you 5 years to recover. And you shouldn't be farther down the hole than you were when he left. And part of it was like the natural cycle, life cycle of a team. Right. Like, they had Cam Newton, who they hit on as the number one pick, and they rode that thing until the wheels fell off. And then they had to find their next quarterback. And after years and years of failing to do so, trying the veterans, you know, the young veterans, the Baker Mayfields, et cetera, they land on Bryce Young. It goes poorly. And that's that. That said, they're not, you don't show up and get a W on Sunday. And so I think that's the thing, Anthony, is this is probably the biggest test yet of maturity for this football team. Certainly, like, there's levels of this. New York was not a very good team. But at that point, you're 0-1. Going into week 2, it's a division game. Arizona, you're a short week on the road. You know, so how do you handle the big win? Well, it's a short week on the road. You're kind of scrapping by. You already feel like you're behind. It's easy to kind of put in that work because you feel like you're behind the entire week coming off of Monday Night Football and that win over Cincinnati. Now you're coming off a big loss. You're disappointed, but you're also getting all this national attention. And how do you show up against a team that is, especially for this offense, defense has some challenges, and we'll get there in more detail as we go here. But offensively, like, they should put up a ton of points this weekend. And I don't remember the last time I said that about a Washington burgundy and gold clad team, but they should put up a lot of points this weekend. And if they don't, like, we're going to have to ask some questions about what went wrong. Where did it turn? We'll obviously see how that goes down. But if they're the mature, you know, together, thoughtful, problem-solving oriented football team that I think they are, I'd be almost surprised if they don't score 30 on Sunday, given where Carolina is.
Yeah, I think when we look at this game, this is a game in years past where we would have lost this game. I think even looking at last season where we had a quote-unquote respectable loss to the Eagles early last year. We lost in overtime by 3. Sam Howell marched down the field, forced OT. Then we, 4 days later, 5 days later, we play the Bears and we get humiliated. But that was a game in which everybody was expecting us to go out there coming off this quote-unquote respectable loss to this, you know, good team of the Eagles. We should have won that game. And I think that's been, you know, what's been cast over our franchise for so many years, where we have times where we show we can compete with some good teams and then we go out there and lay an egg against a team that we should have played, that we should have beaten. So I think when I look at, you know, this Carolina team, yes, it is a team that we should absolutely destroy. Like, on paper, we are the better team. And I just don't want our guys to go out there and overlook these guys and these guys come out here and beat us on Sunday.
And on top of that, with the Bears looming next week, ironically enough, like,
ironic.
I think that there is also the classic trap game type of situation here, except for the fact that nobody's talked about the Bears here all week. It's kind of funny because, especially yesterday, Jaden Daniels is named Rookie of the Week again. Clearly, there's a huge influence of fan voting here because, objectively, Caleb Williams should have won it. Jaden played well, arguably his most, I love the word that Dan used yesterday, Pizzuta used yesterday with us, his most quarterbacky game yet. But, like, they lost, and Caleb went over to London and put up 4 touchdowns on Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And threw for 350 yards and had 6 incompletions. Like, when you have 6 incompletions and 4 touchdowns and 350, you win Rookie of the Week over a guy that threw for 248. Like, all due respect to Jaden, who I would absolutely take more weeks than not this year and would take on my team over Caleb the way they played so far this year. But I think that it's funny. You see some of the every time Chicago does something or the Jaden gets posted by, like, the league, all the Chicago fans are like kind of obsessed with Jaden, mm-hmm. kind of obsessed with what's happened here. And they're like, what about us? What about our guy? Our guy's better. You know, Jaden could never, post a Caleb highlight. And instead of being like, man, our guy's awesome, it's like, Jaden could never. And it's like, that jealousy doesn't look very good on you. You know that, right? You can just be happy about, I know being happy about your quarterback is not something you've ever done before in the 100-year history of your franchise. By the way, the arguably best quarterback in the history of the Bears, Jay Cutler, got arrested today. Good times. And no, seriously, statistically, Jay Cutler might be the best quarterback in the history of the Bears. That's how sad their franchise history is at that position. But in Washington, it's not like that. Like, what I just did is the most antagonistic thing anybody in this city has done, anybody in this area, this region has done towards the Chicago Bears. Nobody's talking about Caleb here. Nobody. And part of it's they had the choice, probably. They were first, you know, we were second, if you will. But I just don't think that as much as, I've thought about next week's game because I'm mad at they got moved to 425 for personal reasons, a.k.a. I'd rather just get it over with earlier in the day. And I don't want to be at Northwest Field until 9 o'clock at night. nobody in Ashburn seems to have thought about it. They'll deal with it next week. Even there was a question today about someone, I guess, is prepping a story for next week and wanted to ask about Caleb Williams to Dan Quinn. And he's like, I'll go longer on it later. But, like, the short answer is we did a lot of homework on him. Like, that's all I'm going to say for right now. Like, he was just like, I'm not focused on next week. Like, I'm not going to be rude to your question, but I'm not thinking about next week. I'm thinking about right now. And I think that that speaks very well to the mentality that they have. But it's not like they went into this week and were like, hey, guys, we have to change what we're doing. We're just focused on this week. Anthony, I think this is why the way they go about their business is so good, is they don't have to change anything. They're always focused on them. Now, what they focus on in a given week is obviously specific to the game plan, so it's not like they don't watch film or anything. But, like, it's through the lens of how do we do what we need to do this week and how do we get better. Not anything that's outwardly focused. It's always focused inward. And when you're always focused inward, you don't get distracted by what's on the outside. And I think this is a week where that absolutely should pay off. And if it doesn't, it's because not because it wasn't the right way to approach it. It's because they did a bad job of it. But talent-wise, man, Washington should absolutely win this game and probably, frankly, win it handily based off how the two teams have played this year. But what are the keys to that actually happening? That's where we go next. Keys to the game on a Football Friday here on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. I kind of did that on purpose, Anthony. The Hoffman Show. Whoa, 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 whoa. I feel like if we practice that, we could get the volume exactly right. Maybe another time. That's a good party trick. Put that one on the list for the offseason.
Okay.
We don't have a football game to talk about.
Okay.
And a basketball game. And all the other football games. And so many sports. All the things. They're happening all at once. That's a Friday edition of the Hoffman Show for you. Again, Evan Washburn from CBS Sports is going to join us coming up at 5 o'clock. He, Ian Eagle, Charles Davis, on the call this weekend. They just wrapped up or are wrapping up their production meetings out in Ashburn. So be like, hey, Evan, what's all the top secret stuff that you talked about with Dan Quinn? Come on, spill it. Tell us. So that's coming up at 5 o'clock. Keys to the game time, though, Anthony. I'll let you start. I always do. I spend the entire week talking about the game. You sit here listening. You also are smart. You have your own thoughts. What to you is the single biggest key to Commander's victory on Sunday?
I think the biggest key is definitely probably getting the run game going. But I don't really want to even look at the one. I want to look at the defense. I think this is a game where the defense can, you know, start to figure things out. They have a running back in Chuba Hubbard, who is third in the NFL in rushing yards this season. And he averages about 5 yards a carry. So I'm thinking, like, that bright spot alone, I think he's been good. I think Deontay Johnson's been good. Those probably been the two bright spots for them. But I think limiting him and trying to figure out how we can slow down opposing teams' running backs, because that's been a struggle of ours all season long, I think that's most important to me. That's what I'll be looking out for. So I think stopping him, seeing who's going to step up, if it's going to be Johnny Newton, if it's going to be Phil Mathis, and, you know, all the other guys that we're going to be rotating, just trying to figure out how to best neutralize opposing teams' run game.
So I think it's worth talking about. So I'm going to talk about it first, but I don't think it's the most important thing, okay. And I'll explain why in a second. But on the subject matter at hand, which long-term might be the most important thing for this team, they definitely have a challenge on their hands because Carolina's offensive line is good. They have put money into it. They have put draft picks into it. Some of those draft picks are a little wishy-washy in terms of how they play, but if they have a good week, they have a good week. And Washington, we learned today, is going to be without Dorrance Armstrong. So they're already without John Allen for the rest of the season. They're without Javonte Jean-Baptiste for the next 4 weeks. He's on IR. And now they're without the guy who has been their best edge both ways, pass and run, this weekend. We know Cleveland Furl is still bouncing back from that injury. You know, had a couple nice plays last weekend, but he's much more a role player versus a feature player. Then the question becomes, who are your feature guys? Is it Jamin Davis? Is it Jaden Harris, the guy that they signed? Is it, which, like, man, if you got signed this week and you're asked to not only start, but, like, feature, that is, it's not ideal. So they use Frankie Louvu a little bit more. And that is one thing that I do think is on the table, perhaps, is more Louvu at end Not that you'd necessarily want him stuffing the edge in the run game, but if you're doing it and that also gets you another linebacker, like big, heavy hitter, guy with speed on the field, well, Jordan McGee's back. And so could you play Bobby and Jordan essentially at linebackers, Luvu on the edge? And then, I mean, honestly, like you're kind of almost going 3-4 at this point. Like that might actually be one of their better solutions as long as Armstrong is out, because Fowler can play on the edge standing up. Jamin, Luvu, all those guys can play on the edge standing up. McGee can play on the edge standing up. They did that some in training camp. You know, so they have all these guys that if you then add some extra beef in the middle with Newton, Payne, Mathis, those are currently probably your three best healthy linemen, depending on how you want to count Fowler. Let's get them on the field at the same time. Sheldon Day, like, okay, let's see what he can do. If he's not as leveraged as an end, but has someone outside of him, you know, is in this 3-4 kind of look. So I think some of those odd fronts, some of those jam fronts where they really muck up certain areas, especially like right over the center. Like there's some things they can do from alignments and fronts. And this is where Dan Quinn's history as a defensive line coach is very, very helpful, to potentially get their best guys on the field, not be at a huge speed disadvantage, because guys like Jamin, obviously, and Luvu can run so well from that edge position. And buy time, essentially, until Dorrance Armstrong gets back, till Javonte Jean-Baptiste, some of these guys that want to play more traditionally in their base, get back. So that, I think it's a huge challenge, and I'm very curious to see how they solve it. That said, it becomes much less important this weekend if they just score. And so, yes, just tremendous analysis, Craig. Scoring is good in football. You want to win? You got to score. Okay, good job. But if the Panthers can stay on rhythm offensively, they can compete. Again, I don't think they ultimately have the firepower, and I think they will make mistakes. Like, again, this is a game where I would expect, like, prepare yourself mentally. There's going to be 3, 4, 5 drives where Carolina drives the football on Washington. They have the running game. Dalton's as an Andy Dalton, their starter. Yes, that guy, he's still around if you're just tuning in at the end of the week. The other quarterback this weekend is Andy Dalton, Red Rocket, that guy. He's competent. He will hit open guys. He knows how to read a field. If you give him opportunities in man-to-man, he will be aggressive with them. He actually, according to Next Gen Stats, has the highest completion percentage against man coverage in the NFL this season. So, with that said, they will commit false start penalties. They will hold. They will do all these things that will eventually shoot themselves in the foot. And they're not an excellent red zone team by any stretch of the imagination. So you can probably hold them to some field goals, but it could be some long, painful drives if you allow them to have the run and thus the play action game as part of their arsenal. I think the key is be really aggressive. Get your own run game going. Take some shots down the field. Like, let's get the screen game going. I know Dan Quinn has said, everyone's kind of been like, oh, they're a really good tackling team. I don't know that I fully believe that. I'm almost like they're saying that out loud, knowing that they're lying. That I could be like, ooh, got to run really hard, get the mindset going. But I think that if Washington can get up 10 relatively early and Carolina now all of a sudden has to drop Dalton back, they don't have the horses to beat Washington that way. And it allows Washington to not worry about the run and play a lot more conservatively in coverage, aka more bodies in coverage. And I think that is how they need to play right now because of the skill level of their corners and especially the skill level of their pass rush. Like, they need bodies to be able to cover space because their pass rush, I can't be counted on to get home. That said, if you know you're not having to worry about runs and you're in these more passing heavy situations, you can also send some blitzes that are a little more exotic and things like that. So you actually can have a pass rush. So get up early, be really aggressive in trying to score early. You're always aggressive to an extent, but like really go for it. And if you do that, I think some of the problems that are presented defensively kind of take care of themselves and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I think that's the recipe. I guess we use our first five games, I'm guessing, where we were just able to, you know, sustain drives, convert on third downs, be efficient. But yeah, if we can score, like, I think we can beat anybody then, correct?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but it's like, I guess the point is to try to differentiate it. Because like, yeah, get a big lead, good football analysis. Again, like there's, it's obvious, but it's different than say like what you would do against Cincinnati, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
Against Cincinnati, I'm daring them to run the football.
Yeah.
I'm double teaming T. Higgins. I am double teaming Jamar Chase. I do not want Joe Burrow to beat me.
Yeah.
And if we're going to be like, I don't mind if the game's close the whole way. Hopefully we can get a stop. But like I am trying to play ball control, keep the ball away from Burrow, and I want them to run the football offensively because they're not as good at it as they are at throwing.
Yeah.
Right? Against this team, exact opposite.
Yep.
Not that they don't have any weapons. Like Xavier Leggett can run. He's not an amazing route runner. Deontay Johnson's really good. You heard Joe Witt talk about him yesterday, if you were listening to the show. Like he jumps off the tape. Like he's a good player. But their best thing, and by the way, they can pass block too. Like those guys they brought in that are big dudes who can move, they can also pass block. Dalton sits in some clean pockets. But the way that they win easiest is if they can just run the football all day. And so the second you take that off the board and you can get more aggressive in your pass rush, and Dalton's now got to beat you from the pocket, just dropping back and trying to find kind of mid-level receivers,
mm-hmm.
that's you're so far ahead. Yeah. And so, again, yes, being ahead, getting a lead is really important always because it's easier to win games when you have more points than the other team at some point during the game. In fact, you might even say it's a requirement. But the difference is you do that against a team like Cincinnati and Joe Burrow's dropping back and you're like, we don't feel actually any better about this. You do that against Carolina, game's over. They can't do it. Famous last words. Put that on Cold Takes Exposed next week. They shouldn't be able to do it. I'll put it that way. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. So with that, who you got? Finish Friday time. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Your picks for Commanders Panthers next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Evan Washburn from CBS, their sideline reporter extraordinaire, will be on the call this weekend with Ian Eagle and Charles Davis. All three of those guys, great dudes, great friends of personal friends and friends of the show. We're going to have Evan on, and then we might see what Charles or Ian is up to on Monday to review the game. So it'll be good to see those guys out at Northwest Stadium this weekend. Instead of calls here, because people, I don't know, people I think are scared to make predictions this week, Anthony. I think that's actually what it is. No one wants to be on record. Everyone thinks Washington's going to win, but you don't want to say it because then you feel like you're jinxing it. I think that's what's happening.
Yeah.
We're not scared. We're going to pick the games coming up later. It's because we do it every week. There's no jinx when you do it all the time. We're going to give you a little take command preview. And we just talked about the Commanders' defense and some of what they need to do in depth. So let's talk about what Washington can take advantage of offensively with a little help from Logan Paulson. Take command for you on a Friday here on the Team 980. Take command. That's Logan Paulson. I am Craig Hoffman. And Logan, the good news now, the most fun part, we saved the best for last. I think the Commanders offense can put up some serious points on this Carolina Panthers defense. This morning, watching some tape, I always try to watch the touchdowns given up by a defense. You know, you just sort it out and like, how are teams scoring on them? And the answer was every single way imaginable. Yeah. They've given up 24 touchdowns already in 2024. That's obviously not great. So there's
aren't they on record to be the highest scored against defense in the NFL or something like that? Let's look that up.
I can check that for sure. But they have given up big plays. They have given up stuff in the red zone. They've given up stuff in like the high red, the strike zone area. You can score on them from everywhere. And after a week off of big, giant, explosive plays with Brian Robinson back, kind of shifting Austin Ekeler back into his role, and Jaden, I think, ready to come back. And I mean, obviously, he was great last week, but lead this offense back into explosive playland. Like, I think this could, if they do what they are capable of, be a big, big day. And I think both run and pass, too. Watching like some of the runs they've given up this year and some of the ways that teams have gotten them, I think Cliff is like, hey, Cliff, settle down, pick the right ones, because I know there's a lot of options sitting there in front of you that you probably feel like you can take advantage of this Carolina defense this week.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I think one of the things that I get excited for in watching, especially the Atlanta game, is I think that Kliff and this offense are going to be able to run the football quite a bit. And I think when you look at where they've been the most effective, it's when they're efficiently running the football on first and second down. And one of the things I noticed in just watching, I watched a little bit of the Bears game, a little bit of the Atlanta game, but how they distribute over certain splits and certain alignments is stuff that I'm sure Kliff is doing backflips over. Because, you know, like one of the things we've talked about is his ability to create good math in the run game by manipulating splits and spacing. And I just thought, like, man, I know they're probably not going to play us the same way they're playing Chicago, but Chicago lined up in like a slot alignment. So two receivers to the offensive left, two tight ends in the nub, and the way the mic was plus to the weak side, so plus to the tight end side, and then the Will linebacker walked out over the receiver. And so if you want to run Wanda there, you're stealing, because the center can just run right up to the linebacker. There's a huge crease there. And if that guy walks back into the box, you just throw the bubble. And so in terms of a team that I think about how New York handled it and how New York spaced the field, I'm like, they should be able to get what they want from a distribution standpoint, because I do think this defense is relatively well coached. I think they are in the right positions. I think they communicate relatively well. Again, it's a new defensive coordinator. The one thing that just explodes off the screen when you're watching it is their front is extremely under-talented at the moment, right? They have all of their kind of big name players. Brown, their kind of all pro defensive tackle, is on IR. Shaq Thompson is on IR. So they're starting A'shaun Robinson, who's kind of a journeyman run stopping defensive tackle at right end. LeBryant Ryan, again, who was a practice squad guy last year. Shy Tuttle, who was the backup guy in New Orleans. That's their three starting defensive tackles. And so when you watch teams, specifically Atlanta, run the football, it's like you see the nose guard 6 yards down the field, like on his back, more than you probably should. And then when it's time to rush the passer, they just don't have a lot of juice. You know, Jadeveon Clowney didn't play last week. I think you see how the scheme in Baltimore really elevated him and spoke to his skill set, because now they're like, Jadeveon, be our whole pass rush. And it's like, I can't do that all the time. And so,
right. Plus, he doesn't have the Magic Ravens jersey where one old guy per year gets to have an awesome season again. He unknowingly gave it to Kyle Van Noy. Jadeveon, you should have brought it with you to Carolina.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so, their best pass rusher when Jadeveon's not in is this guy named Charles Harris, who was the third pass rusher when he was in Detroit last year. So, hopefully you see a theme here when we're describing the talent. Like, these are NFL football players, and you know me, I have the utmost respect for all of these guys, but if you were building a roster, these are not guys you want playing lots of minutes. You want them in rotational roles. You want to maximize them in different ways, and they're playing a lot, and it's hurting them up front. And so they do have, like, their linebacker, Claude Cherlis, is probably their best player on the second level of defense, and he absolutely rips the football. But one good player in your front does not a good front make. Now, their secondary, on the other hand, is very talented. And they're very athletic, and they run to the football well, and they're good. But it's hard for them to be successful because they're playing a lot of zone coverage. They don't have a good pass rush, and teams can run on them kind of seemingly at will. So that's not good. That's not a good formula for consistent defense, let's just say.
No.
To put it as nicely as possible.
Yeah. I will say, watching some of the touchdown reels, I find, go back to where we started the show, the irony of the name that comes up a lot that people want this team to trade for is J.C. Horn.
Yeah.
And I think J.C. Horn might have given up just as many touchdowns this year as Benjamin St. Juice. Like, yeah. you can get J.C. Horn, and especially you can run against him forever because there's no pass rush. So it's not even necessarily J.C. Horn's fault. But he has given up some to some good receivers this year. And he's a guy that likes to get physical. And I don't think Terry McLaurin's too bothered by physical corners. Right. Like, he will power through those guys. So I do think that there's some good matchups on the outside for Washington, even if this front was a little bit better. But I do think at the end of the day, they're probably just going to run the heck out of it. Like, B-Rob's back. So. McNichols, like, make sure he's ready to go. Like, let's get him some carries. Let's get Eckler some carries. And I think that some of the big explosives that they've gotten this year in the run game have been on some of these game plenty tricked up type of runs where they have, you know, the there's the draw that they run where like one back goes and then the other one kind of follows them. Like that's back on the table in your two back sets. J.K. Dobbins had, I think it was a 43-yard touchdown for the Chargers out of a super heavy tight end set in the middle of the, like they're running goal line in the middle of the field because that's how Jim Harbaugh rolls. But like, Cliff also rolls that way to an extent. Like, he'll put two tight ends on the wing with a one side and feel like we're going to smash you with John Bates and Ben Sinnott. So, like, there are opportunities, I think, from personnel, from formation, from, you know, not just, like, personnel in terms of, like, we're going to go two tight ends and watch you match it in a way that's not good for you, and then we're just going to beat you. But, like, we can beat you anyway because your players just aren't that good, with all due respect to them, because they are overexposed. As you said, like, if you had been asked to be Chris Cooley or George Kittle, the teams you had been on would not have been as good. That wasn't your skill set. Those were the minutes that you were going to play. So, that is the respect. But, like, if you put Logan Paulson in the Logan Paulson bucket, Logan Paulson's good at being Logan Paulson.
I'm good at what I do. And again, these guys are good at what they do, but you don't want them.
They're not being asked to do what they do.
Correct. That's exactly right. So, and again, like, I think the secondary is good. I think they got some good players. I like what J.C. Horn does. He's given up touchdowns, but I think he's playing well. But, you know, Mike Jackson's playing well, but they can't do enough to stop you, right? They just don't have enough horses. And so if Washington comes out, executes the way they've executed since the season began, and Cliff calls the game the way since the season began, they should be able to run an effective offense. Now, I think this is maybe the biggest storyline for me coming in this game, and maybe the most important thing is, like, I think after reviewing this, we understand that Carolina has issues as a team, right? However, can Dan and this staff keep them motivated and keep them excited for this game? Like, that's the thing that I keep coming back to, because they got up for Cincinnati, they got up for Baltimore. This is the thing for me. It's like, if they do what they're supposed to do and play the game the way that we've seen them play it, it should be fine. But, like, that's the funny thing about the NFL is you just had this extremely emotional, physical game, and now you're coming to this one. Like, how many times have you covered a team? How many times have I played for a team where you just fall on your face because you're not ready for an NFL team that is wanting to win and it's full of professionals? So that to me is, like, the real story here is the motivation and the leadership of this team.
Let me ask you from the inside that question, though. Like, when you've had those weeks where you're like, man, okay, and then you come out of it, you realize you were overconfident. Is it like, man, we're going to thrash these dudes, we don't take it seriously? Is it an overconfidence? Is it not doing enough prep, thinking that during the week, like, oh, we got this? Like, what is the way in which you've seen teams fall short in this spot? Because I do think for this team, like, I think that they take the process seriously. Yeah. They do the right things. But, like, it would be like an overconfidence. Like, we're going to go smash these guys. And they're not quite as locked in on a game day on the P's and Q's. But I could see other teams maybe being like, we don't need to work as hard this week. You know, we need to recover a little bit after that Baltimore game. And then all of a sudden by Sunday, you're not ready yet. I don't think that's the case.
It's an emotional flatness, I guess, if that makes sense, right? It's like you've prepped it, you've checked all the boxes, right? But you got to be impassioned and motivated at the NFL level, because every team is good. Not every team is good, but they're full of professional players, right?
Right.
And so if you don't match their emotional intensity, like, they're going to roll you. Like, they will. And, like, so, you did all your normal stuff, but then you get to game day and you feel like, man, I feel a little sore, and everyone's kind of, it doesn't feel any different, but the first snap, you can tell. It's like, oh, like, we're not quite where we need to be, right? It's like, oh, we made a mental mistake. Oh, I made that mental mistake. You're just not locked in on the day for whatever reason. And that's, to me, it's just like, you're just not there emotionally. You're not emotionally in the moment. And again, like, that's where I think, like, Dan does such a good job of kind of motivating teams. The leadership on this team has done a great job, but this is one where you really got to say, hey, like, let's get after these boys and make sure we're emotionally ready. Cause then that's the tough thing about the NFL is every week is a tough game. Like, I've had conversations with guys that have coached in college and coached in the NFL, and then they've said, I can't handle the NFL environment. And you say, like, why? And it's like, there's no layups. Every week is a street fight. And that is too much stress for me to handle. Like, I want to go coach at Alabama where you get three easy ones and then you get in your schedule and you're ready to go. Like, this is, and that's why this is tough. That's why the NFL is the NFL and college football is college football, is you have to be ready every single week.
Offensively, like, is there stuff Cliff can do as a play caller to be like, to get them in the right kind of flow early, the mindset early, whether that's running, whether that's taking a deep shot, you know, on the first play of the game, like something that kind of jolts the system? Is that a thing you think about, you know, even at the high school level when you're calling plays?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's like that's the first play of the game to me is the most important play at any level, right? Because it's like I want to kind of set a tone. I want to make sure we're on schedule. I want to make sure we don't go three and out our first drive. And so I think when you look at Cliff over the 6 weeks, like, he's done a masterful job of that, of just kind of being ready for what they're bringing and putting guys in good spots to be successful. So I'd expect them to come out. And again, like, if I'm Cliff, I'm like, let's run the football. Let's have a big chunk play. Let's get B-Rob going early. Maybe it's a zone read. Maybe we don't do zone read because we want Jaden to settle into the decision-making game. Like, that'd be the best thing for me, is if you get it, run B-Rob, maybe a trick kind of jet sweep, something like that. And then the rhythm's going, little quick completion on like a spot route for Jaden. And then we're rolling. I mean, that's perfect. And then the offense has this inertia and you're ready to go and you've got the first down and everything's kind of clicking the way you want it to click. And I think, as we just talked about, you can do that versus Carolina, right? 100%. It's just about making sure that the offense is like ready to rock and roll and get after it. So,
yeah, I'm going to make a prediction because there's no stakes in this. Pop pass to Terry. That's
pop pass to Terry. First,
like,
one.
Terry's a guy that brings juice. Like, let's get him going. Let's get an easy one. He's not necessarily the greatest screen catcher. It's not as smooth. You get him a little pop pass, get him on the edge, let him just start running people over. You know, get the line moving a little bit. You get Jaden technically an easy completion. That's my first play of the game.
I mean, I remember
if I'm right, I look like a genius. If I'm wrong, no one's going to remember this.
I remember Kyle spending a lot of time being like, first play of the game, I want it to be something that, again, keeps us on schedule and gets us in a rhythm. So, like, he used to love, like, four outs, like, out by the inside guy, out by the outside guy, because he felt like it was just easy opportunity for the quarterback to settle in the offensive line, get their first pass pro rep in on a quick game, right? No one's really stressed out. So it's a science for sure, and you got to kind of have a really good feel for the team and a really good feel for what they feel comfortable with.
All right, if you want more from Take Command, the full preview is available now wherever you get your podcast, so check that out. Obviously, thoughts on the other side of the ball. And we also talked about kind of staying focused and what that means for this team. And we also had a big discussion. We've done this on the radio a couple times this week, but if you want Logan's thoughts on it, on whether or not, like, what it means to do the right thing for the team in terms of making trades and moves if you're Adam Peters at this point in the calendar. Coming up next, one, I'm going to make Anthony the play caller. Anthony, you need to tell me what your first play is going to be this weekend. And then we can also talk a little bit more about some of the Carolina Panthers and what they present in terms of challenges and where the worry spots are for Washington, if they exist, on Sunday. Then Evan Washburn, just 12 minutes away from CBS here on the Team 980. It's Hoffman's show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app on this Friday. By the way, 2 hours from now, 6:40, that would be 6:52 because it's 4:52 right now. You will not be hearing the end of the show. You will not be hearing real things. You will have missed it because Knicks and Wizards pregame will be happening then, and then the game tonight at Capital One Arena. So you got Knicks and Wizards tonight here on the Team 980. We just let you hear a little bit of Take Command and Logan Paulson's preview of the game with me on the pod. But, Anthony, we were talking about how important getting going is for this offense, and thus the first play. So a little fun here. We got some submissions in the YouTube chat as well, but I said, my first play, let's get a pop pass to Terry. Let's get him out on the edge. Let's get him involved in the game. Let's get an easy completion for Jaden. Let's get our best player a touch. Let's let let Ben Sinnott get out in front and hit somebody. Let's let Andrew Wiley and Sam Cosmi hit somebody. What's your first play on Sunday if you're trying to get this offense going?
All right. I'm taking a shot.
I knew you would do that.
I'm not going to lie, Craig. I was going back and forth because usually I am a conservative play caller. But for some reason, I want to be aggressive. So I'm coming out in 21 personnel, split, close pro. So we got two backs, Eckler, B-Rob. We got a receiver here. Tight end also on this side. I'm motioning Terry over as quote-unquote eye candy.
Okay.
I'm faking a toss back right to Eckler.
This is very specific.
All for Diami to be hitting a post down the field. I'm taking a shot.
You're taking a shot. That'll probably turn up into a checkdown because they'll probably cover it because that's how most shot plays work. People are like, oh, they need to take more shots. I'm like, you realize that every offense calls shot plays like all the time.
Yeah.
Now, some are better designed than others, and some are like, sometimes you're really running a clearing route, and sometimes you're like, no, this is a shot. But sometimes it's hard to tell the difference because, you know, a clearing route turns into a shot if they don't cover it right. Sometimes you bust coverage, but I hear you. I think I would just rather, like, I'm not taking my shot till we get the first down.
Okay.
Like, I want to get the first down and get in that tempo and start going and make them feel me a little bit. Tyler in the YouTube chat, he had a funny one. He goes, single back PA 19 bootleg to Ertz for 7 yards.
That's like, actually hilarious.
Very specific.
I think he runs that in Madden, probably.
Probably. And then he also said, I would love to see some sort of RPO stick concept from 12 personnel. And here's the thing. I'm actually glad that he said there's like an actual seriousness to this that goes back to last week's game. Early on in the game against Baltimore, Jaden missed a couple of reads on RPO stuff. And this is actually why, like, the pop pass and why being a little bit more conservative, or not even conservative, but like letting him not make that kind of decision early, something that's really simple, like a stick, you know, out, just a regular stick, no RPO off of it. Something where he gets to make an easy decision, make a throw, feel the game, get into the rhythm of it. Even if he doesn't make any decisions, like, let's hand the ball off a couple times. I'm fine with, you know, they want to run some of their GT, some of their pin pull, inside zone. I don't care. Whatever running plays you want. Like, let Jaden get into the game a little bit and then start stacking up some of those RPOs and some of the decision making for him. That, because early in games, he has misread a couple of those. And those plays are too not boom or bust, but like, they have too much boom potential because they can be chunk plays with regularity. Because if you choose it right, you have a numerical advantage. That's the reason the whole thing is designed. To kind of waste when your quarterback is not quite feeling the game yet. So it's something where I hope that they make it easy early, you know, whether it's some quick slants, whether it's some quick comebacks. Honestly, if you want to throw, you know, something down the sideline, like that's an easy read, like whatever, the screen game early, I'm good with. Let Jaden feel the game out, get that first down, start chucking a little bit, now take your shot and see if you can get on the board early and make Carolina chase the game like we talked about earlier in the hour. Up next, Evan Washburn from CBS. He's on the sidelines this weekend. He's fresh out of his production meetings with his broadcast team out in Ashburn. So he's talked to Dan Quinn. He's talked to Cliff. He's talked to Joe. He's talked to a bunch of the key players. So we'll see what he learned being out there in Ashburn. Plus, how different was it walking in that building this year versus in the years past? We'll talk to Evan Washburn next here on The Hoffman Show.